I think Father Brian and I have earned the title of father because last night, you know, while other fathers in this parish maybe were putting bicycles together or finishing wrapping presents, hopefully not scurrying off to CVS to buy any last-minute gifts, Father Brian and I were up late, too. We had midnight mass, and I didn't go to bed till 3. So, no, we suffered with you, fathers and mothers, last night. Children, you stayed up all night probably because you wanted to. And it was great, great mass last night in here. The last celebration of Christmas Day here at St. John's. And it's good. Just Merry Christmas to all of you. And in the old mass, the Latin mass, what's called the extraordinary form of the mass, it used to be that every time you celebrated mass, it would end with a reading of today's gospel. They called it the last gospel. The priest would give the blessing and say, "Go forth, mass is ended." And immediately he'd turn to the left side of the altar and read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Every mass, over and over. Every time you went to mass, that you heard that gospel. And I asked myself why. And looking into this and reading through and just thinking, you know, why would we want to read that gospel every day? Wouldn't it get kind of old? The fact is that one of the most profound summaries of our faith. They're telling us that God, truly God, became man. Not an ordinary man just born of a woman and made some special superhero or something. No, you know, he was in the beginning with God. And God himself became man. Came down to be with us. And this it's such a profound mystery and gift from God that in the old form of the Mass, every time you went to Mass and read that last gospel, you would genuflect everyone at the words, "And the Word was made flesh." Everyone would genuflect. Very beautiful how, like, every day you went to Mass, you'd be reminded of the core of our faith and show that reverence. Fun fact, today in the Creed, we will genuflect. You will forget this, but just be ready. When we say that line in the Creed, you know, by the power of, oh shoot, "And the Word was made flesh," something like that, you'll see. I promise I went to seminary. Father Brian and I and the servers, we'll all remember, right guys? Yes, we'll genuflect at that. And then just, it's an extra show of reverence because today is the day we celebrate the day when that happened in history, real moment, God became man. And so beautiful how, you know, Christians from very early time recognized how beautiful this gospel is, wanted it to be read at every mass, and we got to hear it today. Because truly, what a gift, what a great consolation to know that God isn't just up somewhere in the clouds looking down, waiting for us to get our stuff together. He came to be with us. And this is something that answers a desire all of us have. And even if you don't believe in Christianity, even if there's some young people here who are like forced to get in the car to be with their parents at Mass, like we all have to admit that we have a desire to be known and understood, to know that someone else can share our struggles with us. I see this very clearly as a priest, just in the short time I've served here. So many people come to me and want to talk about the struggles they have. Frequently in the confessional, almost as frequently in my office. There's something about we need to know that someone knows, someone understands, someone is bearing our cross with us. And that Jesus is the one who ultimately is meant to fulfill that. God came down, he became man. He loves us with a human heart. He thinks with a human mind, acts with a human will. He's there with us. And one thing we have to make sure we do is not let anyone else take that place. You know, sometimes people will talk to me and they might think that, "Oh, Father Zabo, you're going to save me. I want you to be the one who comforts me and helps me bear my burden." And I can do that. Father Brian can do that. Family and friends, we help each other in that struggle. But ultimately, we aren't able to take the place of Christ. And sometimes we'll even fail you and outright not be there when you need it. But the only person who truly understands and knows our struggles and can bear them with us is Jesus. He's fully man. So he's with us, but he's fully God, and he understands what we're going through perfectly. Father Brian and I, we can do a lot to help you, but we cannot be Christ for you. For example, just think, like, any kids in here? You know, I don't have to struggle with being obedient to my parents. You know, I can't really relate to that really well. I did that, mostly, at least a little, when I was younger. I can give you some good advice, but no one knows what you're going through except Jesus. He knows it perfectly and relates to you and wants to help you as a man. It's God and man. So beautiful. Young adults in here, I don't have to deal with romance, drama, issues. I'm already married. You come to me, you're like, Father, man, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, You know, I can give you a lot of good advice. I can help you through that. Definitely keep you from making some of the mistakes that I made, at least. But I can't be there. Like, you need Jesus to be there with you. And husbands and wives, man, yeah, I hear a lot about the struggles that there are in marriage. But I can't ultimately relate to you the way you need. My spouse is perfect. So if there's ever an issue in my relationship with the church, I know it's my problem. And it's a little simpler for me. But you know, you get married to a sinner. And I can give you lots of good advice, definitely, from what I've learned in the confessional and seminary. They've taught us to walk with you, to help you bear your cross. But I can't be Jesus to you. Our hearts yearn for someone who knows us perfectly, someone who can relate to us as a man, the human. That man is Jesus. It's so beautiful. The sad thing, though, is a lot of people don't know that that's the person their heart is yearning for. They might not even come to Mass today at all. Maybe some of us don't believe it. We know it. Some folks here, again, are here just because you're home with family and I've got to go to Mass, otherwise, you know, I'm not going to get any presents, something like that. And that's very sad because the human heart is made to find that consolation in Jesus. And, you know, for those of us here who believe and know this, like, we're called to go out. You know, when the priest says, go forth, the Mass is ended. It's not like, get on out of here, y'all, we're done. It's like, go get started in the mission of sharing this amazing gift that we have in Jesus, the answer to every heart, every one of our heart's desires. So keep that in mind. Like, bring that, take that to people who need it. But there's folks in here who maybe don't believe it. Maybe wondering, like, I know this stuff's just a story. I want you to consider the evidence that we have that Jesus truly did exist as a man, and not just as a man, but as God. We know in history, like, that really happened. There was really Mary and Joseph and Jesus. This is not a myth. So many other religions start, they're based on myths, and they're beautiful, and they capture lots of truths, but there's no one who's saying, like, in history that, I don't know, one of the Hindu gods came down and actually existed with us. No, that's not how that works. It's a myth. It's a religion, and it does capture some truth, and there's good in it that we should recognize, but there's no historical facts that confirm it. Christianity, on the other hand, like, we have outside the Bible evidence that there was this man, Jesus, and Joseph and Mary. And then if like those other sources, like the Roman and the Jewish historians, aren't convincing, you might just think of what happened at that time in history, the explosion of people who professed, like, faith in Christ, willing to die for it. That doesn't happen if you believe a myth. Myths develop slowly over time. Those religions develop very slowly. Christianity exploded all at one time when there was this man, Jesus. You know, he's not a myth. He was real. Real man. And far more than a man. Both God and man. Think of that. You know, the Christian religion is not just something made up. You know, we don't just have all this fancy stuff around here because telling stories. This really happened. And that we have very good, reasonable evidence to believe that the desire that we all have in our hearts is all pointing us towards the man Jesus, who shows us the fullness of God's love for us. So beautiful, so important for us to know. And definitely invite, you know, anyone maybe who's here, it hasn't been for a long time, to come and talk about it. Maybe you haven't heard, but everyone else here knows, Father Szabo will buy you a beer if you're over 21 and talk about this stuff. If you're not 21 yet, we'll get coffee. If you don't like coffee, we'll find something else. And this is why I'm a priest, why so many people are here, because we found that it is true, not just a myth, but true that there was a man, Jesus, and that he was not just a mere man, he was God. He came to this earth, became man, to answer that need our hearts have for someone who can walk with us, who can carry our struggles, who understands us perfectly. And while we rely on family, friends, our priests for a lot of support, we don't seek ultimately satisfaction for our desires in them. They help bring us to Christ. And that's truly good news. Good news that's so good that it was worth, and maybe still is, hearing that every time we go to Mass. And it wouldn't be a bad devotion to read John 1, verses 1 through 14 at the end of every Mass. We used to hear it. But at least always keep that in mind. Why am I here? Not just to believing in some myth, but because God truly became man, and he is the one my heart yearns for, who will carry me through whatever struggles I'm having and help me find the meaning of life, one day even bring us to heaven.